This piece was brought to you by Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, WMMB.org, HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Health. The next time you get a late night dollar slice of pizza, you may want to pause and think about how much water went into your snack, which then begs the question, how much water does it take to make food, period? And how much of that water are we throwing away? Grace Communications, a nonprofit foundation raising public awareness about the connections between our various environmental systems, recently released a report that tackles these exact questions. Titled Meet the Nexus: How Food, Water, and Energy Are Connected, the study pulls its data from the Water Footprint Network, which tracks global water usage by country as well as at local levels. The cheese slice you ate, for example, that took 42 gallons of water to produce. Peter Hanlon, the report's lead researcher and a senior research and policy coordinator at Grace, talked to us about where the idea for the report came from.
Our new guide, Meet the Nexus, looks at what's called the food-water-energy nexus, which really at its simplest point is about how these three systems are all interrelated. So, for example, it takes a lot of water and energy to produce the food we eat. It takes a lot of energy to move water around, you know, to your home, to heat it, and then to clean it up. Water is required to run power plants and to produce oil, gas, and coal. And some food crops are now being turned into fuel for vehicles. There's all these interconnections, and it's really getting a lot of play right now in international circles, at corporations, governments. And we thought it was such a compelling concept that we really agree with, that we should bring it down to sort of the local level, to the individual levels for consumers, so they can understand that choices they make, whether it's a food decision, energy, or water, have really profound effect on the others.
However, it's not just the amount of water being used, but what kind of water that's important.
There's actually three components to a water footprint. There's the green water footprint, the blue water footprint, and the gray water footprint. The green and blue water footprint address how much water is being consumed. The green water footprint is that rainfall that gets into the soil and is taken directly up by the roots of the plant and transpired or evaporated off of the bare soil. So it's the rainfall that doesn't end up running off into lakes or rivers or aquifers. Now, once that water does go into lakes, rivers, and aquifers, and we withdraw that to put on farm fields through irrigation, then we're talking about the blue water footprint. The gray water footprint is a measure of the load of pollution that we put on freshwater resources. So in agriculture, when we're talking about a gray water footprint, it's the pollution that comes off of a farm field, either through being transferred by runoff or leaching through the soil into those lakes, rivers, and aquifers. And so this might be fertilizers, or it might be pesticides or herbicides that are being used on the farm field and then end up in freshwater resources.
That's Ruth Matthews, executive director at the Water Footprint Network, which Peter Hanlon calls the gold standard for tracking and measuring water use. So what's the most wasteful food you can eat, water-wise?
The way we present it, it's really about the water used and required, consumed to make food products. So really, the highest would be beef. So in that instance, if you look at a pound of beef, it's 1,800 gallons. But it's also important to look at sort of how the animals are raised. So if you use more of a pasture-raised beef or meat, it's technically, it may have a higher water footprint, but where that water comes from is typically rainwater.
This interconnected way of thinking about food production, water, and energy is more important than ever, especially as droughts become more frequent and exert pressure on food supply chains. As Chris Hunt, the director of Grace's food program, points out,
it's been shown in the past that when there are water shortages, when there are droughts, food prices spike. I mean, cause those two things are definitely tied. We've seen recent examples. The drought in 2011 caused peanut butter prices to spike because of droughts in the southeast. Similar prices actually occurred with olive oil. I think moving forward, we're going to see more resource scarcity across the board. So thinking about efficiency, both water efficiency and energy efficiency, and just use of land, all factor into how we sort of develop our food system and what sort of food choices are going to be best.
It takes 21 gallons of water to produce enough cheese for a slice of pizza, and that certainly adds up, especially in terms of wash water, which would be classified as gray under the WFP system. But some producers are doing their part to minimize water waste, like Cedar Grove cheesemakers in Plain, Wisconsin. Cedar Grove's push towards sustainable cheese production led head cheesemaker Bob Wills to build a living machine greenhouse, which naturally cleans the company's wastewater before it's returned to nearby waterways. The living machine works by sending wastewater through four underground equalization tanks. The tanks break down residues and use wetland plants to separate solid particles from water. The residue is then used as fertilizer, while the clean water is filtered before flowing back into a nearby creek.
And we found that by providing information to our employees about the quality of the water and the amount of water that was being used, that we were able to get them to spill less and waste less water. So we probably saw easily a 15 or 20% reduction in the total amount of water we were using and a recovery of a lot more product so milk wasn't spilled and it turned into cheese instead of going into the water supply.
That was Bob Wills, head cheesemaker at Cedar Grove. Their newer facility is also making strides in sustainability, using their excess water to power their plant.
We started this at Cedar Grove. Our new cheese factory over in Milwaukee, we take the water and our whey and take them into a digester and use them there to produce energy. And the energy that's been produced off of the whey and the wastewater is quite a bit greater than the amount of energy we're using in the cheese production process. So we're actually generating power that can be used by local homes and that.
Consumers looking to lessen their footprint should definitely seek out sustainable producers like Cedar Grove. However, Chris Hunt also offered an even simpler way to help reduce water waste.
Yeah, well, I think the easiest thing actually is just to minimize the amount of food that you waste. So right now, 40% of the food in the U.S. is wasted. And that's kind of across the board, from farms to restaurants to stores to consumers. Consumers themselves waste about 25% of all the food that they buy. So obviously there's a lot of water that's embedded in the food that's wasted. So one super easy way for consumers to minimize that waste is just to cut back on food waste. And you can find some great tips on our website, gracelinks.org/food waste. And in terms of other ways, I think being aware of the water footprints of various foods and adjusting preferences and consumption accordingly is also a way. You know, we sort of recommend reducing meat consumption overall and when consumers do buy meat, to buy meat from sustainable sources.
Less food waste, less water waste, sounds good to us. For Heritage Radio Network, this is Talia Ralph.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. The songs used in this piece are Virgin Blood by Abel and The Arrival by Cosmic Revenge. Thanks for listening.